Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the morning shift. Can't even hear. Like my headphones
you're struggling
weren't really turned
there,
on. Like, I don't know.
In.
Headphones weren't working. Well, Dylan normally goes late. We don't normally start like 6:02. We're like a minute early. So, good morning. I'm Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Improv, Miss Allie Mack. And over there, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews, the knower of all things of Stranger Things.
Conformity gate.
I would say it's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He missed out downstairs yesterday, I guess.
What
Tigger,
happened?
Big Tigger got like a Stranger Things care pack. And it was yesterday. It was actually yesterday when I went down there to get water. I rummaged through it, but wasn't much left for you. Sorry.
Can I say this? This is the second time something like this has happened downstairs. The first time I saw, and shout out to Kalia. She is a great producer for the Big Tigger Morning Show.
She helped me rummage through it to see if we could salvage anything for you.
It
was all gone.
See, shout out to her. But I saw on a TikTok a few weeks back, Priya Ferguson, who plays Erica, who is, if you don't see Stranger Things, Lucas Sinclair is his character. Erica on the show is his sister. She was on Big Tigger's show, and she was on Kalia's TikTok and everything, and I missed her. Didn't even know she was here. Mm. And now this. So I'm very upset about it.
Well, and it's going to be a double whammy of a day when we all find out that Conformity Gate is not real and there is no extra episode of Stranger Things today.
Yeah, Conformity Gate's not real, y'all. For all my Conformity Gate believers, I'm sorry. It's not real. As much as I would like it to be real, too, it ain't real. Just wait for the documentary to come out on the 12th, and you can enjoy that.
I don't know, but do you know what Conformity Gate is?
I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's this TikTok thing that has come up. People are believing that the Stranger Things finale that just came out is not the end, and there's an extra episode being released today.
Oh, that would be sick.
No, it's not true, though. It's literally people just getting on TikTok and trolling. Like, there was a girl that was like, I can't say if I was filming something a year ago in Georgia, but maybe I was. I can tell you on the 7th.
Yeah, I also heard that they're going to go back and redo the entire last season of Game of Thrones.
I don't know about that.
That's
the Conformity Gate thing
means it's not happening.
It would be really cool, though.
They're not doing that.
I don't
that.
Know anything about Stranger Things other than like season one, but it would be what a marketing tool that would be if they just hit you with another episode.
It would be crazy, but unfortunately, I don't think it's happening. This is mainly just people, like Ali said, trolling.
Yeah.
And also people that are buying into it, they're coping because they probably didn't like the way the show ended.
And the way the finale ended, I love everything the Duffer Brothers did. However, they ain't that smart to put all this together.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Ali off the top rope at 6:04.
I'm just saying. This is not a Taylor Swift Easter egg situation. It's just not.
It'd be like the trailer after the credits, you know? When the credits get done rolling, all of a sudden, like, another video comes up. And you're like, oh, wow, there's more.
Some will call that a post-credit scene.
There you go. I have never heard that phrase, but that makes sense.
There's no way you've never heard the term post-credit scene.
On my grave.
Really?
Never heard anybody say that before.
Wow.
Post-credit scene.
Got you,
though.
Scene.
Today I learned.
There you go. There you go.
All right, well, here are the headlines. Since we last got to hang out, the Hawks are back in action tonight against the Pelicans. Pre-game is set for 7 on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 7:30. John Harbaugh is out as the Baltimore Ravens head coach after missing the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys have fired their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus. The Commanders head coach, Dan Quinn, and offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, met yesterday. Agreed to mutually part ways. The Commanders also fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr. The Falcons have reportedly requested to interview Bears assistant GM Ian Cunningham for the GM spot and have sent a request to interview the 49ers executive Josh Williams for the president of football operations. And the Falcons have also restructured their deal with Kirk Cousins, agreeing to modify the final 2 years of his contract. So the restructure also included reducing his 2026 base salary from a non-guaranteed $35 million to just $2.1 million. And there's now a guarantee in the amount of $67.9 million for the 2027 season that vests on March 13th.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you listen to Joel Corey, who is a former agent, and he's a cap expert. He writes for CBS Sports. He's as good as it gets. He basically says this is nothing more than paperwork that helps expedite this thing to get through and be done. And they'll cut him by the third. They'll cut him with a June 1st release by the third day of the league year, so that doesn't kick in to where it's fully guaranteed. The money is, I believe, post June 1st, which is just what you would designate it as, which means Kirk is free to go about his business, but the money doesn't come off your cap until June 1st would be about $22 million in dead cap for 26. What it does is it frees up money immediately for you to use the way they structured this. This was, from what Joel seems to think and from what NFL rules say, this was a deal that was done before Terry Fontenot was fired, before Raheem Morris was fired, before the Saints game took place. I do not believe you can do this deal based on what I've heard from Joel and then you see out there after the Saints game. So this has been done. So it was basically both sides kind of doing each other right, which is nice to see, and it shows what Kirk is about. Mike Garofalo from the NFL, I think Network is where he works, NFL.com, seems to think it could leave the door open, but they would have to essentially extend again and restructure again. I think I originally, when I saw it, was like, well, maybe this buys a new regime time. Doesn't sound like that. Sounds like this is just kind of paperwork, kind of, you know, helping each other out on the way out the door.
I think this is big, and this is big for me based off the conversation we had yesterday. What we sat in here yesterday and we kind of kicked things around about pros and cons of the job and where its ranking is, mm-hmm. and you know, all the uncertainty, and I realize that this is still a very, you know, big cap hit in the long run, but you're splitting it up, you're making it easier on everybody. My understanding is that if he was still here in mid-March after this deadline, that we would owe him $70 million like immediately next year, in that ballpark. So this to me just makes this job even more attractive, right? Moving towards the future, because you don't have that big Kirk Cousins cloud hanging over your head. And, you know, Mike Garofalo can say that this is leaves the door open. I don't believe it does in any way, shape, or form. I think that, like you said, this is a decision that had been made and probably was pressed by the Kirk Cousins side of things to make sure that wherever he went next, he got some sort of offseason with whatever team it was, making him more of an attractive free agent in the process. So, I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's a good thing for the Atlanta Falcons. No matter how you slice it, them kind of freeing up this conversation, them kind of finding a way forward at the quarterback position or at least taking the first step in that direction, it's a big deal. So I think it's something to be excited about. I'm glad that it happened amicably. They both had, you know, strings to pull on either side and things that they wanted. And even, like I said, without the head coach, without the GM, without a president of football ops, whatever else it is, this was able to at least come out and, we're able to talk about it, because I think that was a huge cloud for me moving towards next season.
What's going to be the order of operations? I mean, you just mentioned three major roles that are open right now, and then we still have the question around the quarterback situation, because we might need someone to kind of patchwork things together at the beginning of next season. So what's the order of operations as far as these hires?
Well, it's the team president. That's the order of operation. There's no – like, of course, you're going to interview these guys, and – it's funny because what kills me is people always want – all I heard was moaning and complaining about the way they hired Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. They all hired Arthur before they hired Terry, and everyone just bickered and moaned. And then as soon as John Harbaugh was fired yesterday, those people that I heard, you know, a lot of them were media members, some fan, whatever, just the noise, the people, they got to go hire him right now. You got to call him right now. And it's like, guys, slow down. First off, John Harbaugh might not even want to coach next year. A lot of reports are he wants the New York job. He's already very intrigued by Jackson Dart. But the order should be team president first and foremost, because however this whole thing is going to work, he's going to hire two people to work together. And when people say, well, maybe that person doesn't want to work with that person, Dude, there are 32 GM jobs and there are 32 head coaching jobs. If you get one, you better make it your life mission to want to work with the person next to you, because you don't get an opportunity to do this very often. So the team president is first.
Yeah, I agree with Bo. I will say that just for playing devil's advocate here, I do think that there is a scenario where if the guy you wanted was John Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh were to call you and say, hey, I'm headed down to Atlanta, you would probably rearrange the order of events if that's the guy that you just knew was the home run hire.
Well, I think I personally kind of feel that the team president is already figured out.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is window dressing and clicking certain boxes that the league makes you click. So that's just my personal feeling. It's the way everything. And I'm not the only one. Hell, all these guys are reporting it the same way.
I was going to say, personal feeling. I was like, I think a lot of people got that personal inkling.
But John Harbaugh is an Andy Reid-esque name as far as what he's accomplished in the league. And actually, he's accomplished more than Andy Reid when he came available. And Andy Reid didn't. Andy Reid was let go on December 31st. He was told he wasn't being renewed in January of 2012, right after the season ended. He was hired January 4th of 2013. So that tells you a little bit about how quickly things can work. Sometimes these guys see the writing on the wall. I do believe that John Harbaugh kind of thought if they lost, this is apparently the owner doing it. But, yeah, I think if John Harbaugh said that, but the reality is that you want to make that decision once your president's in there.
Who's the other... So, you know, reportedly that a lot of the teams with coaching openings called.
Seven.
But reportedly there were 9 phone calls. Well, who were the other 2 teams that called that already have a sitting head coach?
I mean, I bet you called.
I think Green Bay's got to be one of them.
I don't think Green Bay is one of them because I don't foresee that. I think Tampa Bay was one of them.
Maybe Miami being
Miami
the other 2.
Would be another one, I guess. I wouldn't have thought Tampa Bay. It's a good point.
I think Tampa Bay is one because, Green Bay, to me, Tampa Bay is one where you kind of know the mold of what kind of the OC you want with the quarterback you have. I feel like there's still a little bit of question marks out on Jordan Love, and Mike LaFleur has kind of been the guy. And also, Mike LaFleur unlocked Malik Willis. Which was, he's shown that he can bring in. I think the Matt LaFleur talk is a bunch of ignorant fans just being a little bit having entitlement syndrome in Green Bay. That's to me the Matt LaFleur thing. Because Matt LaFleur is another win there. He's taking you to what, 2 or 3 NFC championship games. And I understand you haven't made it back and you faltered late at the end, but at one point, before everyone was blowing smoke up the Rams, campaign of being the best team in the NFC, it was Green Bay for a stretch there. And then it became the Rams, and then that folded quickly and became Seattle.
I think there's more to it than that, in my opinion, just from simply the fact that I think next year is the last year of his contract. He is making, reportedly, because, Green Bay is one of those teams that puts numbers out because they're publicly owned. He's not even making the top half of the NFL in terms of coaching salary, from my understanding. So I do think that there is a little bit behind the scenes of him probably wanting an extension. I think it's Ed Policy, who is the president up there for the Green Bay Packers, is saying, we're not giving you an extension. And there's some push-pull in terms direction of saying...
That's the Green Bay way, though. They want to hold. They want to push everything with extensions on every side, it seemingly. They just got pushed into a Jordan Love, and I think Matt LaFleur helped get him that money.
I think there's more to it than just fans kind of pushing the narrative. I think there's something behind the scenes of a push-pull. There's too much smoke coming out of that whole situation.
I would find it hard to believe a team in the playoffs is calling a check on another coach, considering you don't even have, they could win 2 or 3 games in the playoffs. What are you going to do? You're going to make John Harbaugh wait till – I don't think John Harbaugh would want that situation. either. I'm not saying that they didn't call on that point, but I'm saying if you're a head coach that just basically lost your job after 18 seasons with a Super Bowl title there and because a kicker missed a kick, are you going to want to take a job where a team's in the calling you?
Because I would. That team's readier to win than anybody. They're already in the playoffs.
I think you should. They've shown their loyalty there, right there. I wouldn't, personally.
Well, coming up, we do have to talk about the candidates for GM and president of football operations because, like Bo and Mike said, I think we already knew who the president was going to be, but there are candidates. So we're going to talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. 6:24 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and tomorrow you can join Dukes and Bell for a special broadcast live from the opening day of the Atlanta Boat Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. We'll be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 as the largest and long-running boat show in the region gets underway.
Allie, when we walked in this morning, you were glowing.
What
in the world happened to you last night? Because, boy, I don't know if y'all noticed, she was humming. She had a little skip to her step. She was in quite the good mood. I was like, man, she really did wake up and have an early cup of coffee this morning.
I had a moment last night where I was like, how in the world am I in this room right now? How did this happen?
You mean at your house?
No,
like
not
the
at my house.
Den area? Mm-mm. No, not
no,
that.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Nope, nope, not at my house.
What'd you get into?
I do want to preface, we will get into all the candidates up at Flower Branch in a moment. But last night, the committee that was trying to push Dale Murphy to the Hall had kind of a thank you party. And Dale reached out personally to Grant and asked us to come last night.
Wow.
And, I mean, I walked in, I look around and go, is that the governor?
Wow. No way.
Allie was in with the big wig.
Wow.
I was just like,
just rubbing
around,
elbows.
I was looking around like, how in the world am I in here? And all these writers and other media members kept coming up to Grant just being like, I follow you, I love your work. And I'm just like,
man.
That's my husband.
Yeah, so handsome.
But it was just, it was a great night because Dale and Nancy were so gracious and they were so humble about everything. They gave everyone kind of like a to-go present, you know, for as
wow,
a thank
gift
you.
Bag?
But here's how humble Dale Murphy is. He didn't want to give away a photo of himself because he was like, that's weird. He gave away like a photo that he had drawn of Willie Mays because it's his dream to be in the Hall with Willie Mays.
That's
wow.
pretty cool.
Isn't that insane?
Did he sign it like an art, like
yes,
artist?
That's
pretty cool.
So
cool.
It was just unbelievable. And they're just so excited, you know, in the next 3 years to maybe get to try again. Because
yeah.
they're like, it's bigger than us now. You guys did this whole thing. So it was just unbelievable to be there.
I wondered why the vibes were high. And there you have it. I knew something. There was something there to pull out, man. So kudos, though, to everybody involved. That sounds like a really cool night.
And we have a lot of work to do in the next 3 years to make sure that Dale Murphy gets in the Hall.
How many people
were there? Put Dale in the Hall.
Yeah.
Seriously.
How many people were at the event?
Probably 24.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm trying to get a read of the room, but that's actually crazy when you just mentioned some of the names you mentioned. So, okay. That makes it even crazier. That makes it even more powerful.
I know. Right. I was like, why am I here? And I did tell Grant afterwards. I was like, you know, you can go to these things like by yourself if you need to mingle a little bit more. So I'm not like in tow. And he's like, no, I want you there. I'm like, okay. All right. So very cool night. And we do have some work to do over the next 3 years. But in the coming days, there are going to be some interviews happening up at Flowery Branch. The Falcons have requested an interview with Bears assistant GM Ian Cunningham, who has spent the last 4 seasons with the Bears. Worked with the Eagles previously, and the Falcons have also put in a request to interview 49ers director of scouting and football operations, Josh Williams. So he's going to be going for the president spot. Did we not already kind of have an inkling of who the president of football operations was going to be?
Of course, yeah. I think we all kind of do, and we all kind of suspect, but it doesn't mean that I'm a fan of at least the process, right? You want to make sure no stone goes unturned and make sure that, you know, you're lifting the lid off all these things. There's no bad that can come from any of these interviews, right? There's only good that can come from these interviews. I know there's probably a couple of Falcons fans out there in their car rolling their eyes right now, but there's only good that can come from talking to people. And the bottom line is, by talking to people about the president spot, some of these guys' names might pop up in some other role along the way, and, you know, you can kind of calculate it that way. But I don't see anything wrong with it.
You also kind of get insight on what other teams are doing and how they run things because you talk to them and they're like, well, you know, a lot of times they'll give you plans of how they've done it other places. They also are interviewing Mike Disner, who is the chief operating officer of the Lions, and Brant Tillis, who is the Panthers executive vice president of football operations. Both of those guys are also interviewing for the president's job. And honestly, the guy from the Lions, Dissner, if you like do some background work, I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, he's been so is Tillis. But actually, both those guys are extremely impressive as far as their cap guys, and they've done a lot of cap work. And before Dissner went to the Lions, he worked with the Cardinals, and you know, he got some deals done with guys like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson. And before Tillis left Kansas City, where he was also the VP of football, he before he went to Carolina State, he was in Kansas City. And he's the guy that did that massive Patrick Mahomes deal that kind of continues to change. He was there from he was the VP of football there. And these guys all have 15 plus years experience. So, if Matt Ryan was going against these guys in merit alone, as far as, executive roles, he would be the last candidate.
Yeah, we'd have ourselves a situation on hand.
Yeah. So I do believe that Ryan is, I do believe that the reason why you want Ryan to do it is because it's more than a job for him. And he's also a guy that he knows what winning organizations are supposed to look like from a player standpoint and from how a building works. And those guys, you know, and he can allow his GM and coach to kind of do the things that they're supposed to do. Remember, too, real quick, we have a cap guy here. His name's Chris Olsen, and he's really freaking good. And he's the guy that did the Kirk Cousins structure that was done right before the Saints game as well.
I do wonder, have we, and maybe y'all can answer this question, I really genuinely don't know. Has the organization, did they use the terminology director of football operation or president of football operations? Or is that something we've all kind of come up with? What's the term they've put out for who they're looking for?
Team president.
Team president.
Of foot, but team president is what you've heard, but it's also, I mean, Falcons president of football operations. It's because I had a conversation and it was, you know, I said this on Monday and I've tried to get some clarity, but everything I've heard sounds exactly like this job will be football ops and it will be just over football. Like this Matt Ryan or, you know, Josh Williams or whoever that gets this won't be having to deal with, well, what should we set ticket prices at? Or, hey, what should our marketing campaign be? That's going to be Greg Beadle's thing.
Yeah. Also, from my understanding, like you're talking about, the same way I look at it is, like, you essentially took what Rich McKay used to do 10 years ago and you split it into two jobs. And you left one side of the business side of it, you know, with the Greg Beatles, and you're bringing in somebody else for the football side of it, and you're kind of moving forward that way. I just wondered structurally what they're calling it, because I think there's some validity to having these conversations with other front office executives and going, well, what's y'all structure? Like, mm-hmm. What's your job with this other team? You know, what? How do y'all kind of set the hierarchy and look at things that way? And it's not that Arthur Blank just can't – I mean, it's not that he can't pick up a phone and just call another owner. We know that he has owner friends and – billionaires hang out with billionaires or whatever else it may be. But I think there's a lot of value in questioning all these candidates, saying, what's y'all structure? How does it work? Do you like it? You know, what is the way y'all go about your business in these roles? And it sounds like they're bringing in a lot of bright people, which, like I said off the top, can't possibly be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I mean, honestly, if I was looking at resume alone, I'd probably hire Mike Dissner right now. And if it was second, I'd hire Brant Tillis just because of how much expertise they have in doing things. But then again, I go to look back at it and I understand the 2026, I almost said 25. The new way of thinking is the more you can do garbage, but screw that. Like, I'm sick of that crap. Like, all that does is have too many people wearing too many hats and too many chefs in a kitchen. I would love for if Matt Ryan was to say the guy that comes in here and just oversees everything, and when people ask him, hey, I got it, you know, what would you think of this? Then maybe he make a decision. But I'd love for him just be in a position to oversee and kind of, if he sees something that doesn't look right to him, then kind of step in. But other than that, I'd love my GM to go pick players and obviously in lockstep with my coach. But I'd also like my cap guy to just worry about the cap. You know, I don't want my team president worrying about the cap and worrying about this, right? I tend to think that sometimes, and I'm not saying this organization is that way, but like, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like sometimes we're doing too many things and we lose focus on what our sole job should be. And I wonder if bad organizations have fallen into that, and have we fallen into that? Because I don't know, but I would rather it not be that way.
Yeah, I don't think the Falcons have fallen into that, but I definitely could see where you'd look from outside this organization and go, dude, y'all got way too much going on. Let's keep the main thing. You know, the World Cup venture and the US soccer thing and the TGL, and it's like, bro, can we just win? Can we just win the NFL game and then talk about all the satellite companies hanging around? Yeah, I can see that. Sure.
Well, and if you are Brant or Mike or Josh coming in to interview for this president job, are you like, all right, I'll just practice my interviewing skills on
for
this?
For sure. Like, because Allie, it's the same thing on their side of it that I'm talking about. There's no downside.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value in meeting people around the league, putting out a good impression, you know, and having some of those conversations. Who's to say that somebody involved in this organization doesn't land somewhere else down the road? And that's the thing with the NFL. You don't ever burn a bridge, period. And you definitely take every phone call that you can.
Well, coming up, we've got some college football to talk about this week. Semifinals are coming up fast, and we have the first Mac drop of 2026.
Wow, no pressure.
No pressure at all. It's on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Yes, it is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and LSU's administration is allowing offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. and running backs coach Kevin Smith to continue coaching Ole Miss in its college football playoff semifinal against Miami, even though they will be following Lane Kiffin to LSU. Are you surprised, Bo?
No. I think Lane Kiffin does all this just to keep his name in the news cycle. I mean, Lane Kiffin has money tied to every Ole Miss win. Does he want to be the missing link? Probably, yeah, but he's also greedy because, I mean, why do you think he left? I think it would be funny, though, if Ole Miss made the title game when Lane Kiffin said, you know, it's easier to make a title game at LSU. It's easier to recruit at LSU. It's easier, you know, you're going to have a packed stadium, a bigger stadium at LSU, and he's not necessarily wrong in all those things. However, he built something that would do that, and he failed to get multiple players from the Ole Miss team that he actually tried to get to go in the portal, and they're not going to go. Like, Kyron Lacy is one of them.
Yeah.
And so he I think he got one player off of Ole Miss's team that he wanted, and that was a reserve player.
Yeah, and there's so many layers of this, too. I know that he's recruiting. I think he was it yesterday? He was at the basketball game with Sam Levitt, former Arizona State quarterback, and I don't know, the Damon Williams thing from Washington and all the back and forth with him committing to Washington and backing out and heading into the portal. And there's just so many layers to this about what you could possibly be doing at LSU or what you're still doing at Ole Miss. I wish all the coaches were still there. I understand that it's probably somewhat of a personal decision for a lot of them because it was a personal decision to leave. But, man, somehow Ole Miss has turned into America's team, or at least the Southeast team through all this thing, because I'm rooting for them to go out and win. I want all these guys to be there because I want Ole Miss to go out and continue to get victories and show that it is a player-driven organization from this point forward. And Lane be danged, you know, they're going to go out and continue to win games.
Well, I think the whole thing left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth the way Lane Kiffin did all this. He basically was, you know, as soon as the LSU job came open and then the Florida job came open, he basically, everyone knew he was gone, and he didn't even lie to us.
Right.
He didn't even try to like hide it. And then he plays this little game where, oh, they're not going to be right after they beat Georgia. Well, he's not going to release his coaches. any longer, and he, you know, kind of played, made him come back. Also, if I'm Charlie Weiss Jr., and I, if what is it? Is it tomorrow night that they play Miami, or is it the, is it Friday? I can't remember.
It's tomorrow, yeah. I believe.
So either way, in the next two, if I win, if by Saturday I'm in the national title game, I'm trying to go back on my contract to go to LSU, because I've just proven I don't need Lane Kiffin's ass, because I can call plays on my own, and I'm probably heading towards a head coaching job, which is the ultimate goal of most every coach that jumps in and decides to climb the ladder. And I'd be like, I would rather do this independently of Lane Kiffin, because look at, I've shown that I am just as much of the brain trust of this team's success as, you know, the you know, Kiffin.
It bears talking about, though, that you talking about this game tomorrow night. I hate the fact that Ole Miss and Miami are headed out to Glendale, Arizona, and that Oregon and Indiana are coming to Atlanta. Like, you want to talk about, you want to talk about some stuff that doesn't make sense travel wise, but it is what it is.
The Gators have signed Georgia Tech's quarterback Aaron Filo, as was predicted to happen after Buster Faulkner signed on to be the offensive coordinator there. And running back Jaden Bobb will be staying with the Gators as well next season.
They also grabbed Georgia Tech center and Bailey Stockton, one of their receivers. So they, and I, somebody made a meme that they goes, well, this happened quick because Georgia Tech has hired George Godsey, former quarterback, as their OC, and somebody had that Godsey had entered the portal and went to Florida as well. Feel like, I mean, these guys that Buster Faulkner clearly had an affinity for have all left to go play under Buster Faulkner. And they wanted to be where Buster was. The Filo thing was no secret. He stayed at Tech when he probably could have transferred. And there was rumors that maybe Faulkner wanted to move on to Filo last year. And Haynes King kind of had the locker room, which I understand Haynes King having the locker room. And look, But it's interesting. Florida, though, keeping Jaden Ball, that was, they kept, not only did they keep Jaden Ball, but they kept Dallas Wilson and Vernell Brown III. And adding Stockton to that, Trey Brown did leave and transfer, but Florida has what looks like a pretty loaded offense skill set-wise. I mean, Jaden Ball ran for 1,000 yards last year, and he was rumored to be at Ohio State, Texas, all kinds of major Power Five schools, and he stayed home.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I just it's so exhausting. This whole thing is so exhausting. The signing day stuff we did a month ago, the transfer portal stuff, the in out, the hokey pokey with these programs and these players going in, going out. Now we're talking about coaches and playoffs, and I just can't keep up. It's exhausting.
And to add exhaustion to it, we talked about Trinidad Chambliss yesterday, yep. Right? Dude doesn't even have a waiver to play yet.
Yeah, he needed the offer first.
And now you've got the crap out there in Washington with their quarterback who literally signed a deal and then said, you know what? Gonna enter the portal. And they're about to sue him. So it's
exhausting.
I know you're exhausted, but grab a cup of coffee because I got one more for you. Going back to Ole Miss. Running back Kewon Lacy is returning to Ole Miss for 2026. He's ranked third for running backs nationally with over 1,400 rushing yards and 23 touchdowns in his debut season.
Good for him. I'm just happy that there's somebody staying put, you know? And the Trinidad Chambliss thing that he just brought up, he had to have the offer so that they could put the waiver in, everything else that was kind of on the table. I'm just happy to see that somebody's staying put from one year to the next as a superstar player and not dabbling and doing all this other stuff. I'm glad he's not following Lane. I'm glad that he understands what commitment looks like on his end, hopefully, and continues to stay there.
Well, and each Wednesday night, you can join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That is Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the return of the Mac Drop, first time in 2026.
I see what you did there. Yes. One weekend, I see what you did.
So, since it's the first time we're doing Mac Drop in 2026, we're going to play the first word game. This is where we listen to the opening of a song.
Oh, yes. Okay,
Dylan,
I love this
will
one.
Stop it right before the first lyric, and you have to guess the first word.
We're all doing this as a group.
As a group. Okay. And the files are not labeled, so Dylan can participate right. as well.
Right. I don't have the answers.
He's got no answers.
Can't sit here.
Let's play number one.
with arms wide open.
I was going to say this is Creed, right?
Well, that's the song.
Yes, but we got to say the first word.
With arms wide open.
That's the first word?
No, that's the name of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing the first word game.
Game's called First Word.
I thought we heard the first word.
I know.
No, you're guessing the first word of the game.
I can, like, grumble it.
I don't know. I'm going to say I.
Dylan, play it.
My grumble was right on.
I was about to say your grumble was pretty good.
I can hear it in my head. Well, angel. Yeah, okay.
All right, for the second clue, here's what I'll give you. If there is ad-libbing going on or like noises the artist is making, that's not the first word. If you're hearing it, that's not the first word.
Well, it depends on if it's Eddie Vedder.
It will stop right before the first word I'm looking for. Here we go. Clue number two.
Yeah, this is my jam. Gonna make a change. Isn't that what it's called? Isn't that what the first, I'm gonna make a change?
It is Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Dylan, go ahead and play it.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life.
Do you listen to this morning, Mike?
It's a jam, baby, I'm telling you. There is no better alarm clock song in America than this one. By the end, you're like, woo, let's go. So this is the spot right here.
All right, we're going to move on to number three. This one's going to be a little bit tricky. I will admit that. Go ahead and play it, Dylan.
Well, I know it's Green Day.
Yep, Green Day, Holiday.
Man, what is the first word of this song?
Yeah, what's the first word of that song?
I know this song. I don't know if I can get the first word.
I don't know that I know it. Like many Green Days. It's like Creed, you know, you just kind of mumble them. You just kind of roll
shout
along.
Along with Green
Day.
No,
they don't mumble. He just sings fast.
But they're the type of band, they're kind of like the Peppers, where a lot of the stuff doesn't make sense from line to line,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're just like, what's he talking about?
Well, that's because there's copious amounts of drugs used when they write the lyrics.
Exactly.
Well, if we're not going to guess it, let's just go ahead and play it.
Okay.
Say hey.
Oh, that's it. Those are hype words.
Yeah,
I thought that was like kind of bumbling and stuff.
That was the no, that was
say
like,
hey, it's not.
It was like Sweet Home Alabama when you're like, turn it up.
The rules
does that
are
count as the first word.
Rules is rules.
Rules are rules. When the music stops, then you guess the next word.
Okay. All right.
Clue number four, Dylan.
Oh, that's Superman.
Kryptonite.
I'm like, Mike, I can mumble this.
Three doors down.
Three doors down, Kryptonite. Just sing along with it.
I
feel like it's if.
Somebody has it right. Go ahead and play.
Good call, Bo.
Yeah, I heard that song a lot. That was back in the day you had to listen to the radio. Or you either had your CD player in there or you had like a Discman with a tape into the...
Yeah,
Dylan, do you ever have CDs, Dylan?
Yeah, I had a whole thing of CDs.
Okay.
One Christmas, my mom actually got me...
Not that young.
Yeah, I'm not that young.
10 years younger than me, 9 years younger than me.
I still got my whole... Like, with all the CDs I had from when I was like, you know, when the CDs came out.
Okay, so what did they come out? What, 05?
Mm,
04?
I think it was 06.
So I'm not that far off on him. How old was he in 04?
How old was I in 04, yeah?
You were 7, weren't you? Born in 96?
Yeah,
96.
So I would have, way out of pocket asking him if he had CDs. That's 20 years
but not
ago.
Not to the point where he wouldn't know what they are.
No, I didn't say, do you know what a CD is? I said, did you have CDs?
My mom got me a bunch of albums one Christmas, along with like a big old stereo boombox out of my room. Nice little setup.
All right.
Somebody tweeted us one time and said, you guys go out of your way to call yourselves old. And I will co-sign on that right now in this moment.
You think so?
In this moment, we are trying to make ourselves sound older than we are. All right, let's go with number five. And I'll preface by saying, I think you'll get it if you just follow along with the music. I think you'll get the first word.
Okay, this is When He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Before he cheats, Carrie Underwood.
Before
right
he cheats.
Right now.
Nice, Bo.
That's exactly what it is.
Right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, nice work.
Play it.
Yeah. Excuse me, my jam.
The one where she sings about beating up his truck.
When the Louisville Slugger.
Or his car, whatever.
Her and, what's the other girl's name that always sings about beating dudes up?
Miranda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert. Like, they're always, it's always about beating a dude up.
You sweet have combo. To.
This was Carrie Underwood was something. This was out. And this boy.
I never expected to see Dylan doing this.
Carrie Underwood looking like she does marries a guy that probably has half his teeth in his mouth or his. Mike Fisher, he's a hockey player. If you guys don't know, she's married a hockey player.
Well, congratulations, guys. That was the first Mac drop, and we were very successful.
I think
on that.
I won. I got more right than anybody else.
Coming up, Kirk Cousins. His new deal with the Falcons is starting to give us an idea of how next season is going to play out. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.